All right, now, a number of things are coming up every minute. For example, there are people gunning for me because of my article. And incidentally, most of the world will totally reject everything I am saying because they have been totally brainwashed in reductionism. And I get letters, occasionally phone calls. For example, I got letters this Friday criticizing this article bitterly and pointing out the University of Maryland and other places had made studies which showed that if you do not use chemical fertilizers on land, your yield of food falls drastically. I mean, nobody ever denied that. There are two kinds of agriculture, absolutely different. Organic agriculture and chemical agriculture. And you cannot change one thing by leaving out, in other words, you use chemical agriculture to leave out the fertilizer. Naturally, you're going to get bad yield. But we have careful studies. That study, of course, is financed by the Department of Agriculture. Is there a land grant university college like Maryland? They all in together and they are totally controlled by the corporations like ITT and Tenneco. Tenneco is an aerospace corporation which is now deeply involved. I believe it is about the third largest agricultural corporation in the United States today. In other words, when they cut from $5 billion to $3.5 billion in the state program, this the other day I said it was down to $1 billion. It's not. It's still at $3.5 billion, the state program, which is at least $2 or even $3 billion too high. It should be drastically cut. I hope we don't have time, but there's a professor named O'Neill, for instance, at Princeton, who is trying to get the space program to solve the energy shortage by an enormous space vehicle that will have a permanent colony of 10,000 people on it. He's going to put it up in space, and they're going to live there forever. And because the mathematics shows clearly you couldn't build it and send it from the Earth, he's going to build it on the moon. In other words, this is going to cost hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. And it's complete insanity. Now, understand, they don't think deep in their heart. Maybe they do. Who knows what a reductionist believes? If you leave out evidence, if you leave out vital evidence, then you can prove anything. And that's what they're doing. For example, he's got trees and things growing on this space vehicle and plants. And I looked and said, all right, where is the prison? Where's the insane asylum? Because they're all going to be insane very quickly. Living there, you know, and never being in touch with nature at all. But where's the prison for the hijackers and the hostage holders and the saboteurs? The skin of this space vehicle is going to be aluminum, and it's going to be 0.003 millimeter thick. Which means that if a grain of sand hits it, it's going to be penetrated. I won't go into it, but the reason I'm yelling about this, I have reasons for all this. On Friday, I read the last issue of Science, and the first article is by O'Neill. It's this whole thing. Now, what he wants is the billions. He wants to get his hungry mouth on some of the billions that if we attempt to do this, would start flowing out of the government. A government that doesn't have the money, apparently, to finish the subway here. Subway, I think now, this weekend, is finished. In other words, it will not be. It will be used out of it too fast. And gone. Although, the laptops said it would have used it. It would be dangerous. So, there's no food protection. I won't go into what's wrong with it. But what I was trying to show you last time, I didn't succeed, was an absolute miss. Why a bureaucratic system is inevitably a cancer system because it recruits petty bourgeois people who have no anything except the position they can occupy and the titles they can obtain and the fringe benefits that they can get. Read the man in the great flannel suit, you know, this came out 10 years ago. The highlight of his life was when he got a key to his own bathroom. He had made it. He was now a high enough executive at his own bathroom locked with a key. Piece of metal, this is the biggest achievement of your life. Notice it's outside, externally. Now, what happens is these people who come in, I said to you last time, and I never did get the thought across, are all people generally who never had a nickel when they were growing up, and they become absolute compulsive spenders. They have got to spend enormous sums of money, and not their money. And they're always going to do everything the most expensive way. For example, you'll notice that the people who are planning the metro system here are all people who never had a thing. So, the buses must have wall-to-wall carpeting. The buses. They must have heavily upholstered seats, even though the upholstered seats are so inflammable that they're almost explosive. And they want to put that in the subways, too. And when this Europe standard showed that the whole bus would be a mass of flames in less than a couple of minutes, they still are not going to make the change. But why did they do this? Any transportation vehicle should be like a World War II bomber. Everything, none flammable, and you don't go on a bus for comfort. In fact, there's too damn much comfort in the United States. Half the people in the United States have back troubles because the mattresses are too soft and so forth. Or the seats in the automobiles are too soft. In fact, it's frequently, you know, you're sitting in a mushy, in the springs of the cars. This is the reason I don't go to drive almost entirely foreign cars. I say to people, that one of those cars I ever had was a 25 horsepower Morris Minor in 1954. And they say, what was so good about it? Well, I start telling them, 40 miles to the gallon, but torsion bar suspension. At 75 miles an hour, I could go around curves that you'd have to go down to 15 in the Continental. Because I've driven Continentals too. I drive all the time, you know. At Christmas time, you know, Miami Airport, picking up people from California, cousins and things in the Continental. Christmas. And in the Continental, it wasn't mine. My wife's time. My wife's time. All right. The people who are against me and attacking me over the energy article are all reductionists. For example, the alternatives are chemical agriculture or organic agriculture. Well, if I make a chemical agriculture setup and put the chemical fertilizer on this plot and then another plot next to it exactly the same, and I don't put the fertilizer on it, naturally, the output per acre from that one is going to be greater than the output per acre from this. But then I say, what's the value of output per acre? Who cares? What you care is a maximum amount of healthful food. And the food from organic agriculture is far better in terms of health. And then I'll pull out the figures. The cancer rate in the last year, and in fact the first 7 months of this year, has gone up astronomically. The government is frightened to death. It's bound to. Because land pollution, atmospheric pollution, all comes from chemical agriculture and then chemical food processing. The Department of Agriculture today is not concerned at all with agriculture, concerned with food processing. And the food processing plants are going backward into the chemical agriculture. Now, similarly, if I took two plots and said I'm going to test it and set them up on the basis of organic agriculture, and this one I give the full organic treatment, And this one I leave out the compost. Naturally, that one's going to produce more than this one. So it's a fake test. On the other hand, you now report, I can't give you the citations, that just came out this year, where they took 16 farms of the same size and everything, one run by the chemical system and the other by the organic system, and the profit was slightly more for the chemical one. Now, let's say it was the same, the profit was the same, but see, profit isn't what we should be concerned with. Notice everybody leaves out the health, the quality of the food. If you lose your health, you've got nothing. You know that. What's the sense of being a multimillionaire when you've got no health? And can't do anything with the money. For some reason, there's no one to do anything with the money. They're just trying to fill the empty space where there's nothing with money. All right. Food is in three categories, or four, if you wish. Energy foods, which is sugar and starch. This is stuff you burn up your body and can jump around, like I do. Notice we have refined sugar. Refined sugar is vicious. Later I'll give you some things to prove this. If you put starch in your mouth, it should split. In your spit is an enzyme which splits starch into sugar. So this is, if you are eating a starch, you must chew it thoroughly, such as bread. But if it's Wonder Bread, it doesn't matter what you do with it. When you swallow the whole without taking the wrapper off. Then you have proteins and fats. Now, about proteins, there are 24 amino acids, but since we can make most of them, there are only 8 you must take. And you must, the diet must have all 8, because if you have only 7, you cannot use those 7 at all. Those 7 will pass right through your body and are gone. You must have all 8. You get that by a mixed diet. Complementarity, Latte calls it. I'm going to tell you about diet for small plants. These fat and protein can come either from vegetable sources or animal sources. And animal sources can come from dairy products or from meats. In other words, you can have cheese. Fats, the significant thing about fats is this. You do eat fats because certain vitamins and other things are only soluble, not in water, but in fat. So there must be fat in to dissolve the vitamins. Fats come unsaturated, generally. All vegetable fats come unsaturated. Unsaturated means that you've got a chain of carbons. The fats are made of carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and maybe a few other things. And you have chains of carbon. When they are unsaturated, they are liquid, and they have lengths out to grasp other things, such as vitamins. So they become vehicles. Unsaturated fat becomes a vehicle for taking poisons and minerals out of your body, but also moving vitamins and protein and other things around in your body. Now, they can become saturated. Unsaturated fats can become saturated, either by linking into oxygen. When they do that, we call them rancid. And you wouldn't want to eat anything rancid. You see, because it tastes lousy. They become thicker, generally, at that point. So, but if you do not take in oxygen, but you put hydrogen on, they then become saturated. So today, if you buy saturated fats, they have been hydrogenated. That is, all the loose connections have had hydrogen put on them, which means they're worthless for picking up vitamins or poisons or metals in your system, so they just deposit in your system in various places. And you'll find people that their heart has all around it a mass of fat. So we now have people saying, use unsaturated fats, or even using fat flour, which is, you know, in a vegetable, a fat sort. In general, do not use saturated fat, or processed fat, or hydrogenated fat, or general, don't use animal fats. If you can avoid it, that's the fat and the protein. Fiber, I indicated to you that you must have. The other weekend I mentioned to somebody that I was going to talk about this, and they said, tell them about the new book on fibers. You know, somebody wrote a book, I forget his name, Raffi or something like that, I'm not sure of his name, called What You Are. Everything you want to know about sex and we're afraid to ask. I don't know if that means anything. You wrote a hell of a bestseller about 3 or 4 years ago. All right, he's now written a book on fibers. And showing how essential fibers are to the diet. I've already touched on this here, just be here. You must take a very large amount of fiber. Now, if you have processed food, they've eliminated all the fiber. And this has led to a tremendous increase in intestinal cancer, which is one of the kinds of cancer in the colon, the lower intestine, and so forth. So what would you do? It would be the rules. Do not eat energy food or energy. What you will find is that many foods, that you all snack foods practically, are energy foods. They are loaded with sugar. Now, to indicate to you the kind of a here I'm getting toward the medical, like every field in the United States, including history, the medical field today is a disaster, catastrophic area. All they're doing is spiraling costs while health goes down. In the period in which the cost of medical service in the United States went from 20 to 120 billion, the death rate has increased and the expectation of life has been reduced of those aged 20. 30 years ago, my brother said to me, don't pay any attention to this, these statistics on the increasing expectation of life at birth. You know, the expectation of life at birth 50 years ago was 45 years, and then it went up to 75 at birth. He says, all it is that they keep infants that are born who would have died the same day, they keep them alive for 6 months. Or people that would have died at age 2 for genetic problems, they keep them alive now till 14. So this makes the statistics look good, but they're semi-crippled. Cystic fibrosis people always used to die before puberty. I knew a girl very well who lived to be 19. This was the loudest that any ever lived. But she spent her whole life going to the National Institute. She was an experiment for the National Institute of Health. She was the only child, and their parents were nuts over her, and so forth. But, you know, this goes in the statistics, you know, is an increased expectation of life. However, the figures we now have for males aged 10 is the expectation of life is falling. Expectation of life for Americans used to be about third in the world. It is now 32nd. There are 31 countries where a 10-year-old male's expectation of life is greater than in the United States. And this is due to what I am attacking here. That is chemical agriculture, excessive chemical processing of food. Let me give you an example. I get a crack at one bread. Bread used to be made out of whole wheat. I've already told you, the grain of the wheat has 3 parts to it. The first thing they did in the processing is they took off the bran. They took off and took this wheat germ. They threw those away. That is, they threw away the fiber and they threw away much of the valuable amino acids, and what was left was the starch. What is this? That starch is in a form called gluten. It's what you can make paste out of if you want to stick some paper dolls together or something. Why? Now, when you use whole wheat bread, you didn't put sugar in it. They didn't have sugar. Instead, they put malt in it. Now, if you take seeds and let them sprout, they increase drastically. And now, organic food people eat sprouts. And all kinds of seeds and greens, which they sprout in water, and it only takes overnight in most cases, and I tried this last week with wheat, and it's so unbelievably sweet. Malt is wheat sprouts or barley sprouts, and from it they made beer and bread. Incidentally, beer is liquid bread. Or if you wish, bread is solidified beer. Because, in other words, they're made by similar processes. Both of them are made by sugar and yeast and starch, which process to create carbon dioxide and so forth. So that, in a sense, beer is a food, and if you have to, if you wanted to drink something other than milk, you might well drink beer, but just don't drink too much of it. To show you a thought, see, I'm just full of thoughts and things that I want to tell you. I said something about the medical profession. The medical profession today is loaded with fads. Every 10 years, it's totally different. Diseases are different, treatments are different, and they're usually the opposite. One of the worst of all is the pediatricians. That is the ones who tell you what to do when your baby is born or before your baby is born. Everything they have told in the last 50 years have been wrong. By the time they discover they're wrong, it is too late. My first son was born in 1941. The pediatrician and the doctor both were graduates of Georgetown University. I'm not running down Georgetown University, they're all one's better than the other. And he said to my wife, oh, you mustn't nurse the child, give you a formula. All right, the first formula was made out of carnation milk. Today they would, now, carnation milk is, first of all, got lead in it, because the cans are sealed with lead. But it is filled with sugar. Then after you get finished with the formula, you put them on processed baby food, which comes in jars. That is almost entirely sugar and water with a little flavoring. You should, every infant, if you have children, I hope you do, they must be nursed, and then when you start giving them solid food, you must give them organic food that you eat yourself, broken up with a blender of some kind. And not this. The baby food becomes sugar. The children today become addicted to sugar. And the sugar industry just loves this, so that you've got to have a coke that's full of sugar as well as full of coca, cocaine. And the people, you're hooked. Because all these things are addictive. Sugar is addictive. Cocoa is addictive. Or chocolate is addictive. Teen coffee are addictive. That's all right if you want to have things that are addictive. If you want to look at a jar of something and say, this thing is bigger than I am. Which is essentially what you're saying, you know, but I can't give it up. Like smoking is addictive. Well, the whole business of American food today is to get you hung up and hooked on what they are selling. And there's a cheating with coke, people come in with cigarettes, and there's something, and the government subsidizes it. The government is warning you not smoke cigarettes, and they're still subsidizing tobacco growing and all the rest of it.
And yeah, Christ made this, and support Christ, Christ supports, and so forth.
Now, once you are hung up on this baby food with sugar, then you want sugar cereal. Now, you might have seen when your investigation was made for breakfast cereals. All of the advertising is aimed at children. And the children are all hung up on TV because parents want to be rid of them. Most parents in America today, middle-class parents, don't want their kids. Oh, they call me insane for saying it, but it's the truth. They're so eager to get rid of them. Babysitters or almost anything. Send them off to kindergarten nowadays, too. Or something below kindergarten. I've had about 7 schools before kindergarten. Four. Get rid of them. And therefore, they put on the TV at the crack of dawn and put the child in his potty chair in front of the TV. He's there most of the day. And he finally gets to the point that he sees what they're advertising. They're advertising what the study called empty calories. That is, some kind of cornflakes or flake cereal that's doused with dyes, chemical dyes, which are poisonous. Like bread number 2, which is a poison, and sugar. And the final thing is, don't ever feed your baby. That's good thing for an infant to be hungry. The reason is this: the number of fat cells in the body is not genetically determined. The fat cells are cells which store fat when there's too much for your body to use as a vehicle, or they don't eliminate it. And if you feed a baby at the time when he's developing his cells, that's from infancy on to the first couple of years, or overfeed them, they have an oversupply of fat cells. And if they stay on a diet, then the fat cells remain empty. But if they just eat normally, the fat cells swell up. In other words, the consequence is overweight. On a good diet, there should never be a tendency to overweight, except possibly there may be some groups in the world that are genetically that way. For example, there are certain groups from Africa where the women are that genetically that way, and there are certain groups, I would say, in southern Germany, in upland island areas, which are genetically that way. And they go very quickly. Now, I'm giving the rules about food. Avoid energy foods and eat protein foods. On protein foods, eat vegetable proteins rather than animal proteins. And we laugh there at how you do it. Eat low on the food chain. Low on the food chain means here you have the earth, there you have vegetables, there you have animals, and there you have carnivores. That's the food chain. So that, for example, a carnivore would be a tuna fish. All right, avoid tuna fish. You know, because they have concentrated the poisons that are in the atmosphere. You know, the warning about mercury in tuna fish recently, that was because it's the end of the food chain. The same thing would be true, for example, of a hawk or an eagle who's a carnivore. And do not eat animals, but eat vegetables. Low on the food chain. Next, avoid processed or refined foods. You must use the sweetening. The best you can use probably is molasses. Here I will give you some of the sweeteners. White sugar is the worst. I'm trying to get them in my honey. Maple sugar, probably. Brown sugar and molasses. Now, why do I put them in that order? Because white sugar has the least nourishment. It is pure energy. and it is extremely bad for you. In fact, the dietitians now call white flour and white sugar the white death because of the bad results it has on people eating it, because eating too much. I'm going to put down a few things here. We don't really have time for this. Here's calcium, here's phosphorus, here's potassium, and here is sodium. Now, these are all things that we need in our body. In white sugar, there is none of the phosphorus. 3.0, incidentally, these figures are milligrams in every 100 grams, and 1.0 for sodium. Let me get over to the molasses. Calcium is 684. Phosphorus, 84. Potassium, 2,927. Sodium, 96. And the others are in between. For instance, I usually have brown sugar in my cereal in the morning. Brown sugar is 85, 19, 344, and 30. All right, that's the third rule, I guess. Avoid processed or refined foods. Avoid all additives. And now, generally, they're supposed to be labeled. But as a matter of fact, the labeling is not adequate and it isn't complete. There are totally artificial foods that they're not made from anything but chemicals. And they do not tell you, in many cases, what is on them. There is no need of adding anything. For instance, in rich bread, they put back a little trace in the white flour of what had been taken out when they refined it. They not only refine it, but then they bleach it. Go to the store and try and find unbleached flour. Very difficult. Yes, it's possible. There are various reasons for it. For example, the bran they take off, because the whole process of cooking it and everything, it subsists, it's fiber, you know, it's indigestible, it's supposed to be in your food. The reason that they take this out is that this won't keep. One of the things is what they call shelf life. Shelf life is how long they can leave it on the shelf and still sell it. And wheat germ, you cannot leave the shelf long. It has to go quickly and be consumed, you see. They are the things that they, the poisons that they put in. Bread, they have put hundreds of things in. Most of them, as far as we know, are poisons. And this is for shelf life and other things. I just now explain, avoid additives, often chemicals. Today, chemicals are put in just about everything. For flavor, to replace the flavor, the nutrients and the quality which were lost in the processing. So that in rich bread they put in a little B1, although 20 times as much B1 was taken out when they refined it from whole wheat flour. At the moment, whole wheat flour probably costs more. It should cost less. If it's that, if they have whole wheat flour, they've got to keep it moving, so they only have a little bit at a time. Now you'll notice in stores that you've been buying whole wheat flour, the shelf is empty now. They have not caught on, the people have caught on. And they're trying to buy it. But I can buy it at the health food store out here at the Army Mat Service for 25 pounds at a time, or 28 cents a pound. And you can buy other things out there much cheaper. For example, basil out there is $8 a pound. I'd raise it for nothing. But if you buy it basil in a little package, they sell it for $8 a pound. Caraway seeds, which we put in Irish bread, 59 cents for 2 ounces. But out there you can buy 79 cents per pound. I believe that's it. And so forth. Now, the bread, modern bread, it used to be that you took holy flour and you put some kind of sweetening in it to start it. The best sweetening was malt. Now you make health bread, you put it.
We make our holy bread. We're kind of generous. But we may go back to malt as an experiment to see.
Then you put yeast in. Now what the yeast does is it eats on the sugar and creates carbon dioxide, and the carbon dioxide then blows the bread up. It rises, we say. And it rises because of the gluten in there, which makes a tenacious, sticky thing which forms the surface and will hold it. Hold it. And you can use the recipe that's in the plantain.
For the whole wheat bread.
It's an incredible experience, really. But the children, we make that. I'm making it all the time. We got a big thing. We got to turn it to make it. We don't need that. But in any case, today, what they do is they take only the gluten, which is purified. They don't use yeast. They then fill it full of preservatives, conditioners, coloring, everything that could possibly think of, and then they whip air into it by mechanical means, and that's what makes it rise. Now, one of the things, it doesn't get stale, and they tell you, oh, good bread is the bread you can squeeze, you know, and it comes right back again, which is nonsense. The reason that this wasn't Wonder Bread, if it's months old, it comes right back again, because they put into there something that turns into a kind of a rubber. And the fact that it's indigestible doesn't mean a thing. They don't care. You understand, these people don't care. I indicated to you last time, there's an artificial sweetener which was put on the market about 2 years ago by a chemical firm called Searle, and the government is now notifying Searle that they're going to withdraw it from the market because they discovered that they falsified all of their tests. They deliberately falsified that they take their word for it. You see, what happens is somebody inside gets mad at the firm because he doesn't get the promotion he wants, so he releases the truth. Sometimes it's Jack Anderson, and you do better to do it Anderson, because you can do it to the top of that culture and they throw it away from it. Because they are part of the chemical companies. Today it's the chemical companies that control and dominate American agriculture and the Department of Agriculture and so forth. Many foods are additive, are addictive, as has a form. Tea, coffee, sugar, chocolate, and so forth. But there is a substitute for chocolate. And this weekend we made brownies, and they were much better than Carob. C-A-R-O-B. It's $1.55 a pound, which doesn't mean caffeine is not that much more expensive than chocolate. And this is another vegetable from the vegetable plant that's organic. Then protein complementarity is what Lafay is seeking. That is, you put together proteins which will give you the diet and combines the proper proportion of grains, legumes, seeds, and dairy products to produce a high quality complete protein. Now, I gave you an example. They're telling us that unless we go hog wild with chemical agriculture on a worldwide basis, which would mean that all the natives of Africa would be slaves of the same chemical company, the Talwais, like Zero, and the rest of them, or IG Farben industry, or somebody like that, you know, or the biggest monopoly, almost the biggest monopoly in England, Imperial Chemicals Industries, ICI. So they would be dominating the whole world, but they won't. Because they would be being dominated by Chase Manhattan and
so forth, the banks in New York, which of course is controlled and dominated by the office of all this together.
Millet
is bird seed.
Human beings generally in this country don't eat it, but North China they ate it.
Millet has 7 of the necessary amino acids in it. Now, it's very cheap if you get it with the shells on. But if you get it with the shells off, then it's more expensive. I don't know if it is. But the 68th amino acid which you must eat with it is in milk. It's the biggest from the milk. So there is a cheap diet which will give you the 8 amino acids that you need from vegetable protein. Let me give you a few figures. These are from my page. 1.5 cups of beans and 4 cups of rice have as much protein as a 19-ounce steak. 1 cup of chickpeas and 1.5 of sesame seed, 10.5 ounces of steak. 1/2 cup of soybeans and 5 cups of rice have as much as 18.5 ounce steak. Notice that the Chinese have been eating this way for a long time. 2 cups of soy flour and 8 cups of whole wheat flour, equivalent to a 34-ounce steak, which is more than 2 pounds. 2 cups of soy flour, what is it? 1 cup of soy flour, 3 cups of cornmeal, and 3 cups of dry milk. Incidentally, you get all that's good in dry milk. You don't have to have liquid milk. You get dry. This is what they were throwing away, and this is what they were giving to the poor on this food stamp program because they had so much of it. That would be equivalent to 19.25 ounces a day. 3 cups of whole wheat flour, 6 tablespoons of dry milk, equivalent to a 9-ounce steak. 7.5 cups whole wheat flour, 1/2 cup dry milk, 1 cup peanut butter, almost a 31-ounce steak. 2/3 cup dry milk, 3 potatoes, milk and potatoes. This is what made the Irish healthy. They gave them too much population until the famine came. 6¾-ounce steak. In fact, the Irish on milk, cabbage, and potatoes were in perfect health. And by perfect health, I mean that they went to well along into maturity without a single cabbage. The only people you find nowadays that have perfect teeth are some people from Southern Italy and Sicily. The Italian diet was on the whole a pretty good diet. But as soon as modern stuff comes in, above all white sugar or hard candy or anything like that, then immediately the teeth are gone. Vegetables are much cheaper. And not directly, at least in terms of health and long life. Yet the poorest people, particularly in the ghettos of the cities, eat the most highly processed foods, which are the most expensive and the most damaging. For the poorest people, and what they are eating are snack foods and TV dinners. And this is what the students bring home. Naki came on this campus selling snack foods. In fact, Naki is a snack food industry. And this is the university that's going to take care of your spiritual life, your intellectual life, your emotional life, and your physical life. And as far as I can see, everything they do is damaging to all 4 of them. Maybe even your social life. I don't think they do much for that. And TV dinners and snack foods are the most expensive and have the poorest health prospects. The government paid more than a dozen doctors last year more than $100,000 each for medical care for the poor. In other words, in this city alone, I believe there are 4 doctors giving medical care to Negroes and others in the ghettos, and the government is paying them, and they are making over $100,000 a year. This has gone on for years. Some of them make up, one makes up, I think, $400,000 a year.
Now, what he does is just rushing people through his office all day long and giving them all kinds of pills and things, most of which are injurious. So you take anything in your mouth which is unnatural, do it with suspicion. Even the God. Many organic foods are now more expensive, although they are less processed, but many are more reasonable, which is dry milk. Holy flour, 28 cents a pound, and so forth. All right, just now, time is on the over. Now, what I'm going to do in the next class, which is Wednesday, is try and put much of this together. And I want to call to you something I put on the board before. What I'm going to do is try and show you the whole economic system today. What we have today is a cancer economy and a cancer society. By cancer, I mean compulsive, unrestrained growth. Every corporation, every bureaucratic structure, for example, the figure released on the Office of American Aid. We have now in the American Navy a general for every vessel, I mean an admiral for every vessel that we have. We have 8 captains for every vessel that we have. In the old days, only the commanding officer of a battleship was a captain. And an admiral, by definition, has to have a fleet of vessels. We have the armies the same way. It's totally top heavy. It has combat men, a few, but behind every combat man has about 25 others who are just along for the ride. Notice the Georgetown University, the compulsion here to expand. They secretly every year take in more than they admit. And then they claim they don't have rooms enough, and they don't have housing enough, so then they have to build and build and build. And they've got plans going for centuries as to what they're going to build. They've been dreaming of years, for years, taking over the Ashford estate, the Boston Medical School, in spite of the fact that they treated the Ashford family like dirt when they were here, although they were multimillionaires. See, they don't even know where they are. They don't even know the names of people, but Paige Hufty. Paige Hopkins, she's now the dream girl of Washington, D.C. And Paige Hopkins is Mrs. Oswald's granddaughter. Her sister was here in the Barnes Service School, and she never graduated. I won't believe the story as to why this was so long. But they wanted to get back the Oswald estate. Oswald, you know, was one of the original 9 Standard Oil parties. And this is why, when Nelson Rockefeller's son was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea, remember that? It was on the Archbold New Guinea expedition. It was financed by the Archbolds. Now, you have to know these things, know these people. If you dream of getting them to leave you their land at the state when they die, which they won't do, no reason why they should. We have a growth society, but it is gross, compulsive growth in everything. It's insatiable. There's no effort to improve the quality of anything. Nobody cares about quality. All the drive is to increase the size and the quantity, which is exactly what cancer does. Cancer is growth in the body that you cannot stop. Now, I'll show you the fact is what our economy is by giving you a master diagram, next time, of income and money flows in our society. Anyone who didn't get that in their examination, and I suppose they're not here today, I would like to get rid of these exams that were not picked up.